it's like a bit of a lonely sort of stretch out there where you raise these cattle, you do all the work and you send them off and you don't get any thanks, you don't get any recognition. And you often think, wow, did those people like that product? Did who ate that product? Where did the product go to? So that was something else that I found that was very, very important for me, is to be able to understand where my product went and also understand that my story would be told. And that's what I wanted to be able to do. I wanted my story to be told to many people around the world because I'm proud of what I do.
It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Well, if you're in the food chain today, you're in the information business, and maybe nowhere more so than what's going on in Australia right now. And I've got a conversation with a new friend in Australia. I want to welcome Paul Ryan to the show. He's the managing director of AgLive Traceability Platform. Rob, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thanks, Roger. Paul from AgLive in Australia. We've developed a really incredible platform from farm right through to fork or consumer, which reconnects the farmer to the end consumer. And we'd love to tell you more about it now.
Well, you're going to get to call me more about it because it's happening a lot of places. We are getting to take for granted the fact that consumers want to know more about where their food is grown. But certainly supermarkets and restaurants and others want to be sure what they're getting. And they're wanting information too. Paul, I remember when that was simply done with a fax machine, that even if you're exporting food all over the world, you could be a trader if you were able to have a fax machine. And you just sent them the descriptions. But then I think people figured out, too, that sometimes people lie about what they're describing as well, too. And you're in a position in Australia that you're able to produce certainly a lot more animal products than you consume. And so I think Australia's always had to be on the cutting edge, hasn't it, of getting its products around the world. So I would imagine you've been experiencing that concern about the quality, about whether the stories were truthful and so forth. So has it kind of forced you in Australia to be on the front edge of finding dependable ways to give the consumer the information they want?
Yes, look, absolutely. Australia was the leader in implementing RFID tags on cow's ears back in the year 2000. That was the start. We were leading the world then. Now, RFID tags didn't cover all of the gaps in the supply chain, so the farmers were still filling out forms on the farm as well. So we've actually digitised the collection of data from RFID tags, plus allowed the farmer to complete his vendor declarations on the farm with a mobile app, which enables that whole supply chain to be underpinned by evidence of food safety, animal welfare, and provenance right from the farm.
Now, let me stop you there for a second. Did you say that in Australia, all the livestock has to be identified individually?
Absolutely. And we put that system in 20 years ago because of what you just said. We are trade exposed, so 75% of our product is exported. If we don't have traceability within our country, our trading partners won't take the product because they'll see risk of foot and mouth. We haven't had foot and mouth disease in Australia. It's been in many other countries. When those other countries had foot and mouth, they had no traceability. They had to close down their export markets. Australia kept moving because we had national traceability right back to the farm. And now we've enhanced this with this digital platform.
You know, I think it's really interesting. It seems like quite an undertaking to get all the livestock identified. So is a national law passed? And does that include, I assume, sheep and cattle? Are hogs and the other species included or not?
So we have individual RFID tags on all cattle, all beef cattle, and in the state of Victoria, all sheep and goats as well as cattle. Other states are looking at, so in the next couple of years, we expect all livestock in Australia in the red meat industry will be tagged under a national system.
So the farmer is going to put an ear tag in, and that will identify the farm, the location. What else? What other information is in that ear tag about that animal?
So the ear tag is what we call a passive tag. It has an RFID tag, which is a 18-digit number, but that's registered in a central database at the state government and at the federal government and at the Meat and Livestock Australia database, which is a central integrity system for livestock. And because we use an RFID wand interface with a mobile phone, whatever data that farmer wants to record against that particular tag, he can record on our app. And so that might be health treatments, feed regimes, it might be something about the birth of the animal. All of that information is able to be captured and then shared through this national platform.
Now, I suppose that would include the breed, because there are some breeds that get a premium, certainly like Black Angus is one that that has a premium in some places. So it includes breed information too, I suppose.
Absolutely, right back to the genetics. We can trace back to the bull, to the female, which as much data as that farmer or that exporter or brand owner wants to share, we can actually capture on the system. Because being able to share that data and have it being able to be trusted to underpin a brand claim is the key to a premium price and the key to opening up new export markets and maintaining existing markets, because it's traceability. We know all the cohorts. If there's a disease outbreak, we can pinpoint right down to the farm and have that quarantined immediately within hours. That's the power of digital and RFID tagging of all animals.
Is it all just data, or is it even possible that they could post a link in there that would show a picture of the farm or a picture of the cow herd or whatever?
Yeah, because the farmer's using a mobile device, he can have a video, he can a voiceover, he can take a photo, he can share whatever he would like with that end consumer. It might be a certificate. We do sell a lot of beef into Southeast Asia, where halal is very important. So all of that sort of information can be put in there, and because it's blockchain enabled from the farm, the data can be relied upon. And we have a digital handshake with the central industry body to validate, yes, those tags belong to that farm, and that's all valid.
Could you take a second and explain blockchain? Because a lot of people are probably like me, and they don't want to show their ignorance, but it's not as easy to understand as a fax machine.
No, that's quite, look, I'm not a technical guy either, Roger, but I explain it this way. My background, I was an accountant. So if you just think about this, the transaction's being put onto the blockchain, and you've got 1,000 auditors checking that as it goes in, and that's it, so it can be relied upon. Okay, it's a distributed ledger, so nobody needs to check it again. Those 1,000 orders, which is really just a lot of computers using algorithms to validate data going in, that's how it works, and that's why it can be relied upon.
So when people are getting involved with this, I mean, they go to a blockchain website or something, or blockchain company, or do they call you and say, I want to start utilizing blockchain to pass information on about the animals I'm raising?
Well, blockchain is really just the technology. It's what you do with that technology. And we've applied it in real life to solve a real problem. That the real problem we're solving is, where's my food from? Who's done what to it? When and why? And is it safe to eat? And is it authentic? And I explained earlier that we've had massive problems up in China with food fraud, where a $2 billion problem for Australian brands. We're being substituted with our brands. They're copying our boxes and our cartons and our imaging and our brand and our labelling. And they're putting product in it from unknown origins. And we know that product's coming potentially from across the border in Vietnam, and it's not fair on Australian producers. We're a highly regulated and very safe production system for red meat, and we're being undermined by operators that are doing illegal things with our product and undervaluing the product. And it's also a food safety issue.
We got to explain that a little bit, because what you're alluding to is we started talking a little bit before I turned the recorder on, and now we're recording the conversation. And product was being misidentified as being as an Australian product that might have been water buffalo or something else.
Absolutely. A lot of Indian buffalo comes across the Vietnamese border into China, and it's being substituted for or marketed as Australian clean, green Aussie beef. And that's not fair on the Australian industry. And it's not fair on consumers. If they buy what they think is Australian beef, they should be getting Australian beef and not something that's inferior in terms of quality, safety, and origin.
You know, in the United States now, we don't have to have the country of origin in the labeling for meat products. We do for other products, and it's been kind of controversial that that's the case. But I'm wondering if most of the places that Australian beef is exported, do they want to know it's for sure from Australia, that it's not been transshipped or something?
Absolutely. Food fraud is a major problem for the beef industry and other industries, and that they want to know. But they also want to know the story, because if you look at, say, the wine industry, the Napa Valley, that's got a great story. We have the Barossa Valley, which is a great story, because animals come from different regions, just like wine does. So they inherit different characteristics. The southern cattle are different from the northern cattle, and the farmers have a regional story to tell. And with this platform, they can actually tell that story, to the consumers. You mentioned earlier the lamb industry. Well, we have a region called the Mallee, has a lot of salt bush. And the salt bush lamb is lamb that's being grazed on salt bush, and it gets this lovely salty flavour in the flesh. And that's a great marketing opportunity for those farmers in that region. Now, that's something that's unique and can be shared right along this platform to the end consumer to differentiate the product. We can't continue to try and be a supply-driven, commodity-based exporter. We have to have a premium product, because we are clean green, we're an island, and we've got a story to tell, and it's a regional story as well, and that has not been able to be told in the past.
So can I give you this podcast, and you could, you know, add the podcast to the information, since we're talking about some of these cattle, and in theory, at least, that we could actually post a link to the podcast within the blockchain?
Absolutely.
Oh, come on. You're getting me excited now. I think that's another whole way to get the podcast stories out is transferred. And I think the other thing about telling the story, and then we're going to move up the chain a little bit more, is that whether or not the food is being produced sustainably is becoming more and more of an information need. You know, it used to be, like you were talking about, that there was concern about food safety. There still is. And the provenance of where the product's being grown and some other things about the system. But even the broader information now on whether it's regenerative agriculture is taking place and it's sustainably produced. Are any of the farmers that are using it getting information in there about their sustainability?
Yes, we're working with a couple of groups at the moment, and one is regenerative agriculture, and how do you prove that? So they have independent testers coming onto the farm. They test the carbon now, they test it in a year. All that information can be relied upon because it's done by third-party certifiers. That information can be then shared on this platform to the end consumer, so that they know we can validate which farm it's coming from. Then we have this independent certifier that attaches a certificate to the transaction that validates, yes, this has come from a regenerative farm. And we have another group that has satellites that fly across the farms and take photos of the vegetation. And from that data, we can validate that that is a sustainable farm, and that's doing the right thing by the environment, the right thing, thing by the world. And that needs to be shared through the supply chain.
You know,
and we're able to do that.
Paul, so these, say the cattle, they're going to end up going to a processing plant where they are processed, so turned into meat products to be exported. So when the livestock come to the plant, I suppose there's some way that they're reading the information so they get that data from. And then how does that track through all the different meat cuts that are that come from, you know, one head of cattle?
Okay, so here we actually feed the data into the meat processing systems. And the meat processing systems track the animal as it goes through, like a big hook system. So each animal, because it's got an RFID tag, is linked to a hook system. And then as they bone it out and cut parts off that particular animal that goes in a crate and then eventually in a box, it's actually tracked not always back to the individual animal. That's pretty difficult, but it's certainly tracked back to that batch of animals that came from that farm. That was 20 animals, and you've got traceability to that 20 animals back to the farm.
And I suppose something like ground beef, which ends up being perhaps, you know, quite a quantity of a lot of different cuts from many, and that would also be kind of, it's an interesting process. So the other part of that then is that going forward, you end up with what's called primal cuts or cuts of beef that are in boxes that are ready to be exported or delivered to supermarkets. And I assume then there's some sort of an ID on those boxes that have all of that information, so that if they unload it in Hong Kong and consume it in Hong Kong restaurants, that they can identify the plant and the farms that it came from. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. So we track right down to the item level. So if in a box of meat, there's 20 steaks that are on a package ready to put on a supermarket shelf, we're tracking the item. We track the items that are in that box. So then we're labeling the box. It's got a smart QR code on it. And then the boxes get scanned into a pallet. The pallet gets scanned into the container, and we're tracking the container because we've got a device that tracks the movement of the container, the opening and closing of the door, the lifting and the downloading of the container, but also monitoring through IoT device inside the pallets the condition of the meat inside. Has it gone up or below its temperature threshold? And that's very important for the end consumer, particularly the supermarket, to determine the shelf life.
Well, yeah, that gets back to the other challenge that there is, I think, being in Australia. That's a ways away from a lot of places. I mean, you're close to Asia because you're really part of having that market right there. But still, historically, to get your products that are perishable anywhere else, in the past, they all had to be frozen pretty much to be able to get it, although there were some semi-fresh and processed in cryovac containers and so forth that were put on planes to deliver. But now is chilled is what's referred to. Now, is that the form that most of the meat leaves Australia and goes to your markets in some sort of a chilled form?
Yes, well, that's where we, as a country, aspire to be. We're not there yet. There's only 25% of our red meat product is sent chilled, because until now we haven't had the systems to monitor and protect the quality of that perishable product all the way. But now with this system, we actually can. And the key here is that chilled beef exports are worth an extra 30%. To the Australian farmer than frozen exports. So that's the gem that we can achieve by having traceability. So just by adding data, being able to monitor right the way through leads to a premium product in an export market that are very well prepared to pay to know it's chilled and it's come directly from Australia.
Well, let's explain chilled. Now, as I've had it explained to me before, it's just like not quite frozen. I mean, it's really, really cold, but it's just this size of frozen. Is that right?
That's right. I think it's 1 or 2 degrees or something like that.
When it's that, now frozen could be good for a couple of years if it's, yeah, and yeah, the technology of freezing in New Zealand and Australia has really led the world because of, you've had out of necessity, I think, but they've really done a great job in being able to have the good frozen technology. But now this chill technology, how long can the product last when it's chilled, packaged properly?
Well, depending on the packaging, I think with cryovac, et cetera, it can last up to 30 days and more. Okay. Depending on the technology that's used. But there's a lot of demand now for air freighting it in. So, yeah, if it's air freight, it's only a couple of days, and it's going to be at the end destination with a long shelf life after that.
Because here, you know, when we have beef on the West Coast and it goes all the way to the East Coast, it takes 4 or 5 days to get there, and then you only really got a good maybe another 5 or 6 or 7 days that you need to be selling the product before it starts kind of losing condition.
So
the chilled product that comes from Australia, the chilled meats that are coming from Australia, are they generally put on planes, or are there still ships?
Some are shipped and some are on air freight. The air freight, I think, is the way to go for the premium products particularly. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're working with a number of operators. And working in with the airlines as well, such as Cathay Pacific, where they were keen to be part of a chilled air freighted system for quality beef going into these markets.
That's really, really interesting. And I think it is important for them to know that it's coming from Australian processing plants too, let alone the Australian farmers. I've been through some meat processing plants in Australia, and they're impressive. I've been in some in other parts of the world that I wouldn't want to eat the meat that came through those plants. And in fact, I have eaten some of the meat that came through some of those plants and got sick too. So it was a bad experience, but I always feel pretty relieved to know that it's Australian or American or New Zealand and some of the Western Europeans, but there's some other areas that are just really, really iffy. So that amount of information to the customers that are marketing, I could see where that could be very important to them. That, now explain your company. How do you make money from doing this, or is this a non-profit venture?
No, we're a public unlisted company here in Australia. We have about 150 shareholders, and our business model is we took a decision not to charge the farmer anything for the software. We charge the what we call the brand owner, who's also the exporter. So when the items are packed, we apply our smart QR code to that item in the box, etc., and all that data from the farmer is actually included in that or linked to that, and that's the point of charging a small fee to the brand owner. Okay, a small fee per item. Okay, so it's a volume play to allow that exporter to tell the story and get a premium in the product and even just market access by having data.
Is there any hardware to it, or is this all a software?
Well, farmers have already got some hardware. They've got a mobile device.
Yeah, the smartphone.
About 90% of our farmers have a mobile device in their pocket. They don't always use it for apps, but they certainly use it to talk with. And of course, most of them have now RFID scanning technology on their farms. And then there's nowhere else in the supply chain we really need to pick up any hardware. We don't operate any hardware. We just work in with the existing systems. So if the meat processing plant has a good costing system, we just work in with that.
So a lot of people are familiar with a QR code. Is there a visible QR code that people use to read this information and access it?
Yes, there's a QR code, or there's other codes that we can link in with as well. QR code is the most popular. And the important thing is that we actually have a free consumer app that is downloaded on the first instance of a scan of a QR code at a supermarket. And it brings up a mobile app with all the imagery of the product owner or the brand owner. So if it's Macca's beef, consumer in Shanghai scans that particular item and the Macca's beef story and logo comes up. So it's just powered by AgLive. It's not our app in terms of the experience. Now the importance of having an app is an app has to go through an app store to be validated that it's come from an authentic company, and they do a lot of checking that it's not fake.
Right.
There's a lot of QR codes that just link back to a website, and those websites can be faked and spoofed, as they call them, even just overnight. So that all that great information that the farmer shared can be copied, and that's the problem with a lot of the blockchains. It's just linking back to a website, and this can be easily faked, and it does get faked. So it's taken us a bit extra to do it on the mobile device, but it's far more secure and trusted.
You know, it's one of those things that slows people down a little bit. I mean, for a while I thought QR codes would be used a lot, and then it kind of slowed down and people didn't seem to be embracing them, and now they're kind of coming to them again. It's easier on smartphones now than it used to be. You used to have to get a QR reader and download an app to read the QR code, but now the latest smartphones, all you have to do is just like point at it and it'll take you where you need to go.
Yeah, spot on. Just open your camera, point at it, and then it'll give you all the information. Now, in Australia, because of the COVID, we're all used to now going into a hotel or restaurant, well, scan the QR code and the app comes up and we're checked in. So that's just it's normal day life now because of COVID. So this is everywhere.
Well, and there's apparently some other kind of codes, like you were mentioning, the QR code. There, for a while, I was hearing about something. It was like a watermark or something. It was almost invisible, but it was kind of an abstract something or other, but it would also do the same thing.
Look, absolutely, and there's other small devices that can sit inside, like in a package, so there can be a covert device inside the carton even, so that inside the skin of the carton. So we can read those. We can read any device that just identifies, and the smartphone can interact with those, whether through Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or mobile.
You know, I find it so interesting. When you look at the world, how much of this is being accepted around the world? I mean, you are exporting from Australia, and you must have some sense of it. I mean, you talk to other people that are in this business. How is this going around the world? Is it something that's kind of unique to Australia and the U.S., or is it pretty much all over?
It's pretty much unique to Australia at the moment. New Zealand have put in a national animal identification system with RFID tags. Other countries have it as well. Now, in the U.S., as I understand it, you don't have a national livestock traceability system. You have some state-based systems. So that is an opportunity for AgLive to enter the U.S. market. And increasingly, if a country hasn't got a national system and a digital platform, it's going to become increasingly difficult to maintain and enhance access to export markets, particularly in the COVID world. People want to know. They're now used to getting a code and getting information.
The one thing we do see in the States is more and more information provided by packaged goods processors, cereal companies, and others that are finding that their consumers want to know about the farmers that are producing the grain that's going into the cereal and things like that. So that seems to be moving pretty fast. But the degree of identification that you're talking about on livestock, no, I haven't really seen that. It's exciting to see the appetite, if you will, for information and more and more sophisticated demands. I mean, we get down to, well, how many really care? I mean, whether they're not going to buy it if they don't know this or that. Well, they want some level of assurance. Maybe not everybody needs to know who the farmer is and you know, whether or not the cattle were fed alfalfa or clover or whatever else. But it just staggering how much that appetite for information is growing.
Look, absolutely, and different segments of the market. The younger generation want to know more about, and they're more engaged with the story of food, and where's it from? Is it organic? Is it nutritious? Is it, if I eat it, is it good for me? And they don't want chemicals. So how do you prove all that if you don't have an on-farm data capture system at the front of the supply chain?
Well, and you know what? I mean, adding to something we mentioned earlier, that the concern with sustainability and regenerative agriculture and what those ag practices. I just was on a podcast this morning, actually, where we were talking about the fact that areas where the carbon levels are getting higher, they're seeing signs that increased carbon dioxide in the air is going to be affecting the nutritional values of the foods. And that the high carbon intake integrated into photosynthesis somehow is resulting in having lower levels of zinc and iron and vitamin B. And who knew that? I never heard that before. And it's kind of like it's a whole new area to look at, that you look at how the carbon is affecting even the nutritional value of some of the foods. And, you know, it's really intriguing.
Yeah. Look, it's fascinating where this will continue to evolve. But look, ultimately, we are what we eat, and animals are what they eat as well. So it all goes back to the farm. Also, what treatments have those animals had? Why are there so many cancers spreading in the world these days? There hasn't been enough analysis on the impact of residual chemicals in livestock. That's very important now, and that's why we're seeing, I think, more push to say, okay, is it from a natural environment? What has it ingested? Because we are what we eat, and that's nutrition.
You know, that's so true. And, in fact, one thing I've come across, too, is that in one country that you've mentioned earlier is – there's such pollution issues with the water quality that an area that grows most of the vegetables is really getting irrigation from two really heavily polluted rivers. And it's irrigating this area, but as a result, the irrigation water has higher levels of cadmium, arsenic, lead, mercury, all these heavy metals. And they're seeing increased incidences of cancer that scarily go back to people that are consuming what should be the right foods, consuming vegetables, and but those vegetables are irrigated with water that's not safe. You know, that's scares me, and I talk about food all the time.
Yeah, look, it's amazing. It's the more data we can catch on farm to validate that it's a clean green product, the more trust we're going to get from the end consumer that the farmers are doing the right thing, and they generally do the right thing, but they didn't until now have a platform to show that end consumer to get an underpin a brand claim, because a country like Australia, we can't compete with South America and these other countries that've got cheap labour, they've got more fertility in terms of the soil, they've got more reliable rainfall, and of course, but they don't have anywhere near the food safety standards that Australia have. So we can't compete because we have to pay for all that. So we can add data to actually differentiate a product into those export markets, telling that clean, green, safe story. And that's where we're seeing some real traction at the moment.
There are some people that are going to be skeptical of this story. You know, Paul, they tend to say, well, I know what's important in food. It's that, number one, it's delicious. Number two, it's inexpensive. And number three, it's convenient. And yet beyond those basics, the story is really getting a value. And like you're pointing out, you aren't necessarily going to be the cheapest product out there, but you have a good quality product and you've got a story and you can stand behind it. And that's important.
Yeah, spot on. This is Brand Australia. We know we can't be the commodity provider of product to the world because we can't compete because of differences in costs and climate, variable climate. But we can be the clean, green provider of premium product to those markets that are looking for this. They're looking for something that's not a commodity, looking for something that does tell a story of truth.
Paul, let's start working on getting podcasts put in those ear tags now, so we can have a story going with this beef when somebody is sitting down and having a wonderful dish of beef in Shanghai someday, and they say, "Oh, let's listen to the story," and they say, "Came from Australia, and there's Paul and Roger talking about it."
Absolutely. Well, one of our customers, Robert McKenzie from Macca's, Premium Macca's Beef, who couldn't join us today, but he's a wonderful advocate for what we're doing here in Australia for Ag Live, and he's got a great export market into those markets, particularly into Shanghai, and he tells a wonderful story about his clean green, and what we do is just underpin that with a platform that can be interrogated on blockchain. It underpins that whole story of clean, green and safe, and that's what's giving him traction in the market now. Because we know there's a market, particularly in some of these more difficult markets where food fraud is rife. People want to know, is it safe? If I give it to my child or my family, what's the impact? And we saw a few years back the impact of the melamine in the baby formula. That was a disaster. That should never have happened. And that was food fraud. And babies were killed. I think it's 300,000 or something babies were put into hospital. Just here's Macca now. Can I actually take the call?
Yeah, mate, look, it's actually Robert McKenzie from Macca's. I forgot that there was a zoom.com.au.
Well, we got a head start on you, Rob. We've been talking about all of the issues of what you're doing and why you're doing it, but we've been talking about beef, and now we finally get to talk to somebody who's actually growing them.
So what would you like, a quick rundown from me, or what would you like?
Well, you know what? I think that Paul and I really kind of covered the waterfront, but from you as a farmer, why have you embraced this technology? Why is it that it's become important to you as a cattle raiser?
Yeah, look, mate, what it is it's important to me for a couple of reasons, okay? And I'll tell you them and see if you think that makes sense. Firstly, it was because of food fraud. We experienced food fraud directly and firsthand. We'd travelled to Asia 15 times in 5 years and has seen our product duplicated and copied 4 times, okay? So that disturbed me because we were competing against ourselves in a hypothetical way. We were trying to sell Macca's Australian Black Angus beef while someone else was trying to sell Macca's Australian Black Angus beef that was actually not my product. So customers were saying, why is it cheaper? Why is your product online and it's cheaper? Your product didn't taste that good. So that was hurting our reputation. Big time. Now, the other thing too is I liked that the smart label system can actually tell a story. I liked that it had the ability to recognize the hard work that I put in to deliver that quality product, that I got recognized for the work that I did. Because it's like a bit of a lonely sort of stretch out there where you raise these cattle, you do all the work and you send them off and you don't get any thanks, you don't get any recognition. And you often think, wow, did those people like that product? Did who ate that product? Where did the product go to? So that was something else that I found that was very, very important for me, is to be able to understand where my product went, and also understand that that my story would be told. And that's what I wanted to be able to do. I wanted my story to be told to many people around the world, because I'm proud of what I do.
You know, your story, in a way, should be able to be the name of your company, even. When you say Macca's Australian Black Angus Beef, you're saying who you are. You're saying it's from Australia. You're saying that it's Black Angus. You're saying that it's beef cattle. But if anybody can print that, they could take your label and put it on anything and pretend that it's actually your meat. So that's what you actually experienced.
Yeah, I felt like I was Nike, and people were copying my shoes and selling it, and that was disappointing. Like Gucci, you know, people were copying my brand. You know, the worst thing about it was, is if I go to buy a Gucci bag for my wife and don't tell her I've bought fake Gucci bags, I know that I'm buying the fake Gucci bag.
Sure.
But when I go to purchase a piece of meat, how do I actually really know that that piece of meat is genuine? How do you know that?
Yeah. You can go to Hong Kong up to Stanley Market and buy a nice Rolex for $50. So you're kind of the same thing. So what you're saying, like, how do you make sure that people know you really are the Rolex of beef?
Well, they know now because we've delivered the smart label traceability system, that people have confidence that people can contact me now, that people can actually, you know, hear the story and, you know, contact me, and, you know, you get better, you know, you feel better about yourself. So there's a lot of things here. The other thing too is food fraud's a $65 billion a year cost to the world economy. It costs Australia just under $3 billion. Okay, so who suffers? The end consumer suffers. Okay, our distributors suffer, because our distributors that are purchasing the quality products are competing with the fraudsters, so our distributors suffer. Then our processing facilities in Australia suffer, because they've got to keep, you know, costs down as much as possible because they're competing with inferior products. No. Then the transport companies, the shipping agents, the farmers, and everyone's suffering. So what we're now doing, we are now protecting Australian manufacturing jobs. We are making the people around the world that go out and believe that they purchase Australian products in the past now are actually purchasing those Australian products. So that there is comforting for them to know that they're purchasing Australian products, but it's also comforting for us now to know that more products will be sold at a little bit more premium price, because there's going to be less Australian product in the marketplace, because now it's only going to, or less branded Australian product in the marketplace, because now it's only going to be the real thing. The legit Australian product will be the only product that's in the marketplace as Australian product, because people won't want to buy the product unless it has a smart label system on it.
Hey, let's go back to the farm for a minute, because we've been talking about the technology and how important it is to have this story going with it. But describe your farming operation, your cattle, the land, what it looks like there, and give us a picture of your farming operation.
Okay. Well, I don't know what. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted. I pulled up here near the Sydney airport, and there's about 30 police and a helicopter flying over top, and there's police standing next to me with machine guns. And a van just drove into a jet aviation, drove into a shed. So they must have a serial killer that they're putting on a plane. But and a bit of ruckus going on here. I'll paint the picture, right? I'll paint the picture. We've spent $40 million in the last 10 years acquiring some of the best property in a region along the east coast of Australia. We've probably spent $5 million on infrastructure work, minimum, and that is improving the pastures, fertilizers, gateways, entryways, vehicles, the whole lot. We've spent a lot of money on infrastructure. We had Alibaba, you know Alibaba?
Yep, owns Yahoo.
Yep. So we had Alibaba come and spend time on our property. Wow, this is great. We had eCargo come and spend time on our property. Wow, this is fabulous. We had Metcash come and spend time on our property. Wow, how much fun is this? Look how beautiful this is. We had Angus Australia come on our property and said to my team it was one of the smartest, most professional, beautiful operations they've ever been involved in. And they're busting their ass to work with us. I cooked for the Chinese Premier League. I had the federal government, the National Australia Party, come to our property 2 weeks ago. I've had MLA, New South Wales, DPI and Austrade ask me, could you meet or could you show people your property? If we sell our cattle online, we top the market. If we sell them at regional sales, we top the market. Our brand is strong. Our cattle are healthy. Our properties are picturesque. You know, I did a video the other day and I was cooking some lamb cutlets on a long weekend, Queen's birthday weekend and on the Barrington River. And, you know, 200 people looked at it and 50 people commented it. 200 people liked it. And, they, wow, what a beautiful scenery on the edge of this river. On the farm, cooking, you know, some Australian meat. We had the MLA. We're going to come to our place and do a cook-off. We're doing a reality TV show on the 13th of next month. It's called Three Blue Ducks. It's three surfers that own a group of restaurants, and they're coming to do a cook-off on our farm. We were recommended by Meat and Livestock Association Australia. So that tells a story. My youngest son has his helicopter license. He can pick key people up out of Sydney, bring them to the Hunter Valley, bring them to the farm, and give them that experience. We have built a solid business that can promote Australian agriculture, that can make Australians proud. That's what we've built. Now, if you follow me on LinkedIn, you can see that you know, we've opened up 10 to 12 new countries in the last 6 to 8 weeks. I was contacted by a federal member G, only 2 days ago. His staff contacted me and said, can you please give us some information about how the government's assistance and what the government's done, and also what you've been doing with traceability, has opened up new markets. So we've moved product into Saudi Arabia, into Dubai, into Macau, Hong Kong, Singapore, Korea for the Hyundai Group, Taiwan, Palestine, West Bank and Gaza Strip. We've opened those markets up because of a couple of reasons. Obviously, the major reason is that we have support of all those industry leaders, Austrade, DPI, MLA, federal government, National Party, Macquarie University, Angus Australia, State Treasury. We can put all them on, hashtag all of them on to our posts. And so, you know, DHL, all of those people. So that helps. Okay, and to be able to offer a story helps, traceability helps. So we've got that whole package. I've had KPMG, PricewaterhouseCoopers. KPMG offered me $500,000 to come on board only 3 weeks ago and be their face of their traceability system. You know, KPMG, AxiChain, The Real Thing, and multiple other people. Why? Because I can open up the doors. I can bring those industry bodies to the table. I can bring, you know, who gets the National Party of Australia, you know, and the National, so to head up our government at the moment, we have the National Party and the Liberal Party. We have the Liberal Party as a Prime Minister, but the National Party, they join forces, is a Deputy Prime Minister. So we have them on our property. Who gets that? No one. Who has Alibaba? Not a lot of people. Who has Chinese Premier Li? Not a lot of people. We had the other half of Gina Rinehart's operation that bought Kidman Co., the biggest agricultural property portfolio in Australia and in the world. Kidman Co. was bought out by Gina Rinehart and Shanghai Creed. Shanghai Creed spent 2 days on our property and purchased our product and liked the idea of traceability. So Macca's is a forward-thinking company that thinks outside the box.
Well, you know, did we just lose him? Oh, there, you're back again.
Sorry, Rob.
You still hear us, Rob. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, Rob, I want to go back just for a minute to real basic, because it all starts with a cow. So you've got Angus cows. How many cows you got?
We have 3,000 of some of the best Angus cows not in Australia, but we have 3,000 cows, 130 bulls, and hungry for growth.
So, and they're raising thousands of calves every year that you're processing. And those calves are, do they go on a feedlot at all, or are they finished on grass?
No, we send them at 380 kilos to a feedlot on a 150-day program.
That 150-day program, that gets them to what weights?
I'll probably get them to 750 kilos live weight, and then from there we move them from there to the processing facility. There they'll process the cattle. From there they will cut it up, distribute it, and send it wherever we want to send it, all over the world, under the AgLive Smart Label Traceability System. Now the AgLive Smart Label Traceability System actually integrated with our software on our farm. It integrated with Kalara Elders Feedlot. It integrated with Martin's Transport to cart the product from feedlot to abattoirs. It integrated now with DHL. It integrated with Etihad Airways now. We're actually giving them some Australian beef jerky that they're going to actually give and feed the pilots on the long haul air cargo planes. So we got a meeting with Etihad Airways in 20 minutes, who are actually going to do a whole new promotional video on sending product by long haul planes, and Macca's are going to be the face of their new marketing campaign, and that's why I've come to Sydney also this morning to meet them. And the AgLife software system integrates with them. It integrated with T2. Google T2 is a new sophisticated retail store in China. It integrated with their system. So why wouldn't you want to buy Macca's Australian Black Angus beef? You would like to buy it now, wouldn't you?
I sure do. Although I want to ask you both, something else about competitors, because this technology, one of the things that intrigues me is you don't have to be big to be able to utilize it. I mean, you've got a really impressive program, and you've got a large farming operation. You've got a great reputation. You're connected. But if I had 100 cows and I'm farming near there, could I not tie into this and use the system as well?
Yeah, of course you can. This system has been developed. Yeah, you can. Yeah. And I'll talk, Paul, as if I had 100 head, and then you can give explanations. If I had 100 head, I want to know exactly where those cows go as much as anyone else. because that 100 head is your life, it's your livelihood. Your kids help look after those cattle. Your wife nagged you every night because you got home too late. Or you want to be able to show to her, well, do you know that my cattle just went to Saudi Arabia? You know, so you've got the ability to tell that story and track that product, whether it's in Australia or whether it's export market, as much as anyone else. So it doesn't matter whether you've got 100 head or 50 head. It doesn't matter even if you want to sell a jar of honey. You can actually jump on the Ag Live portal, become a partner, if you'd say, and create a smart label and tell the story. That's the beauty about it. Now, this is a reason we got New South Wales government involved. They said, well, if this hasn't got the ability to tell the story right across the agriculture sector, we don't want to be involved. Well, within 2 months, here we are doing a Zoom presentation on the AgLive smart label system to multiple people in China because they actually loved it. They thought, of how this is amazing. So I hope that tells a story.
Yeah, Paul, I don't know if you had anything to add to that.
We have one down here in Geelong, regional Geelong. They've got sheep, Ryland sheep, which are very good meat sheep, and maybe only 500 or 600 sheep, but it's a high-end product going into butchers in Melbourne. Absolutely, they want traceability. So a small operator, but the system will work for a small operator or a large operator like Robert. And we have other sectors, for example, the pet food industry. Roger, we have, a year ago we had a lot of animals die because what's in pet food. We have a relationship with our pets now that's probably different than it was 20 years ago. And we want to have them eat nutritious, healthy food that doesn't have the impact of chemicals. And so we have a pet food operator now wanting traceability to the end consumer. Important it is.
And I think this is what's so exciting about having this technology available and so many people able to use it. It used to be people would say, well, sure, just works for the big guys. But it's really something that whether you're a large scale doing international exports or whether you're small scale dealing with a farmer's market, you can assess this technology today. And I think as you were pointing out earlier, Paul, you can everybody's got smartphones. And from a smartphone, you've got so much capability to be able to tie it all together. Well, I think it's exciting what you're doing, and not in Australia, but you're taking it around the world, and around the world, people will listen to this podcast. And if they want to know more about your programs, where do they find you online?
So the AgLive corporate website is aglive.com.
And Robert?
Macca's Australian Black Angus Beef.
Macca's, M-A-C-K-A, but it's not apostrophe S, is it? Or is it apostrophe? Or
no.
Just M-A-C-K-A-S, Black Angus Beef. Australian Black Angus Beef. Okay, that sounds great. Well, you know what? It's I'm really happy to talk to you two. Let's do this again sometime. I think that people can learn a lot from your doing, and I'm sure all the way up and down the food chain, they're going to be pleased to know that they can count on the quality and on the information and find stories that, Rob, go all the way back to your farm and the good things that you're doing. So I want to thank you both for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you. It was great having you. Thanks, Roger. Pleasure.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.